Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, we have iOS 5, we have iCloud, we have Newsstand, we have Reminders, we have Find Your Friends. Oh, and we also have an iPhone 4S. All coming up. This episode of iPad Today is brought to you by GoToMyPC. Don't let life's unpredictable moments decrease your productivity. Visit GoToMyPC.com for your free 30-day trial with the promo code iPad. And by Slingbox, which just turned your iPad into a television. Slingbox introduces their new iPad app, so now you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you take it. Check it out at Best Buy or Slingbox.com. Leo usually does that, but I did it today.
Okay.
Because I don't know. I'm trying to be Leo, and it's really hard to do. Leo's off today, but that's okay because we have MG Siegler filling in as my guest co-host on iPad Today today.
So am I playing you then if you're playing Leo?
Well, no. You're playing Leo. Oh. You comfortable with that?
Okay.
You just kind of have to be silly and play a lot of Wii Rule, and you'll be fine. No one will know the difference.
Puts on the hats.
Yeah, exactly. So, actually, MG, for anybody who's been following iPad Today for a while, was a co-host of mine back in episode 31 that we recorded on February 3rd.
Oh, was that long ago?
Yeah.
And it was in the other building.
It was
the first one I've done in this studio, in the new studio.
That's right.
It's much nicer.
Yes, it is. It is, I think, what we would all agree is a real upgrade.
Yeah.
So thanks again for being on the show.
Yeah.
It's great because for anybody who doesn't know, MG and I are very close friends. So we do a lot of iOS talk at home. We both have iPads, iPhones, Macs.
Yes.
We talk about apps that we like and give each other tips and tricks and this and that. But before we go any farther into iOS 5, which is instantly made my iPad a much more fun experience. You have something that no one has really seen yet.
Yeah,
very few people have even held.
Which camera do I go into? This one, the iPhone 4S.
Which looks exactly like the iPhone 4 on the outside.
It does, except for the little SIM tray. So this is the Verizon one, but it does have a little SIM tray because it's able to do international roaming for the first time, which is awesome. Especially, I was just in London last week, and I had my my regular Verizon iPhone 4 with me, and it didn't work at all, of course, because there's no CDMA network over there. But this one does do international roaming, so it's great.
So what else is different about the phone? You've already written up a review on TechCrunch about this.
Right.
So if anyone's read the review, your review or anybody else's, we know that it's faster, the camera's better, and you've got something called Siri.
Right. So it's got the A5 chip instead of an A4 chip, and the A5 chip is actually the same chip in the iPad 2.
Right.
And then it also has a significantly better camera, 8 megapixels, you know, in terms of the pixel density, but even better than that, they've kind of recreated it completely, and you know, it has more sensors in it now. It's able to pull in more light, and it's generally a lot faster to both load up and to take pictures in rapid succession. But yeah, the big feature is definitely Siri, which is an iOS feature, but it's iOS for iPhone 4S only. So you can't upgrade your iPhone 4 to iOS 5 and get Siri on it, and you can't even do it on the new iPad.
So last week, somebody had written in, and Leo and I were trying to figure out, well, why, if you've got an A5 chip and a connection to the internet on your iPad 2, what is the limitation besides Apple just wanting you to buy the 4S?
Right. I mean, Apple's being pretty vague about that, and I think everyone who got a review unit asked them that question, and they, you know, they kind of just vaguely say, well, you know, there's some special stuff we're doing behind the scenes to make it work. One part of Siri is that it's server-side only, so it can't work without an internet connection. But they still say there's something going on within the processing of the combination of the A5 chip and maybe some other internal hardware that they have in there that's required for. I'm not sure that I actually believe that. In fact, I wouldn't be that surprised if down the road they eventually roll it out to maybe the iPad 2 or any iPad with an A5 chip, but that's at least what they're saying right now. So for right now, it is definitely a selling point of the new phone, which will be out tomorrow.
So thanks, Apple. So, all right. So Siri, we were playing around with this a little bit earlier, and my initial reaction was, yes, this sounds great. And of course, Android people have been saying, this sounds like stuff that we've had for a while.
Right.
And the people, the select few people who have been able to play around with Siri say, yeah, it's a lot like that, but it's better.
Right.
And I said, when am I really going to use this unless I'm in my car and I can't actually touch my phone? But you seem to think that it comes in handy for a lot more.
I was pretty skeptical, too, when they first first unveiled that this would be one of the key features of the device. You know, it's like, that seems like a cool thing to have, but is it really going to be useful? But I actually do think it will end up kind of, if not totally transforming the way you use a phone, I think it will for certain functions. Like, for example, it's so much better to look up driving directions or any kind of directions to get to a place rather than having to type in and hit a few buttons to, you know, say, map from this location. You can just say where you want to go, and it'll infer that you want to go there from your current location and just give you a thing. So I can, let's see if, what should I pull up here? Like Petaluma Market? Is that a good one?
I guess.
It's really close.
Right next to us. Central Market, which actually isn't a market, it's a restaurant.
But it's in Petaluma?
Yeah.
I just hope
we've eaten there.
Directions to Central Market. So, if you want me to hold this up.
Here are directions to Central Market.
Here, hold that up to...
My...
Can you do it again and then just keep it held up to your microphone?
Okay.
So we can hear the lovely voice that is Siri. She actually has kind of an annoying voice.
Directions to Central Market.
Here are directions to Central Market.
All right, now. Yeah, they got it right.
Yep.
That's exactly where Central Market is.
So, and there's a few other fun ones we were playing with earlier, like, what is the temperature outside?
It's hot outside.
What? Did she tell you more than that? Oh, it's 81.
It shows you it's 81.
So she's being, like, cheeky with you a little bit. Which is weird. Okay, so when we were at home earlier, it's the same home. So
I don't know what you mean by.
Okay.
Because I had started talking.
All right, Siri. All right, that's enough.
Right.
Be quiet for a second, Siri. So we were trying to, like, okay, if you say, what's the weather?
Yeah.
Then by geolocating that we were in San Francisco at the time, that's the weather that we were getting.
Right.
And then if you say, how hot is it outside?
Yeah, so let me do this one.
Okay.
So, what is the high temperature today in San Francisco?
The high temperature in San Francisco will be 79 degrees.
It's really cool. I mean, it's funny because just as natural languages, it's funny because I'm trying to follow this French podcast right now, and so I'm learning all these different ways that you can say the same thing. And of course, we do that in English, we just don't think about it.
I mean, I said that pretty fast.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it, so I just said it as I would normally speak to any human being, and it was able to catch that. I mean, it does. When is my mother's birthday?
Wendy Siegler's birthday is March 9th.
No, that's okay, true. All right. Now, You've already established with Siri that you have a mother.
Yes.
Her name is Wendy. You have the same last name.
Right.
And
but
her,
it remembers that now.
And her birthday is something that was like in your contacts already.
Yeah, it's in
type
my
of
contacts.
A thing?
Yeah.
Because you have like a birthday calendar.
Right.
Type of a thing.
Right.
So as you continue to use Siri, it continues to know
it gets
you
smarter.
Better.
It also they have integration with two external sources of information, which are Wolfram Alpha and Yelp.
Right.
So if we look up something like, how tall is Mount Everest?
Let me think about that. Okay, here you go.
So it doesn't say it out loud, but it does show on the screen.
So when she was saying, let me think about that, they had to do some processing.
Them, yeah, sending it to the server, figuring out what you're trying to say, and then looking up on Wolfram Alpha what you're actually looking for.
So it's almost like someone saying, it's right here. Oh, yeah, I know the answer.
Yes.
I mean, they're trying to make it as human-like as possible.
The greater things, though, I really think are things like, remind me to eat dinner later tonight.
Here's your reminder for today at 7 p.m.
So it assumes 7 p.m.
Shall I create it?
So and then it...
So it wants to... It's
no.
So it's telling you.
Okay, then.
Yeah, and that would have been like a calendar entry.
That's actually a reminder. Yeah, the new one of the new iOS 5 apps is Reminder, so it'll add that. You can do a calendar entry. You can also change calendar entries that you have that you previously have done. Say if, you know, change my lunch today at 2 to 3, and it will be able to do that for you.
So it's almost like making personal assistants obsolete.
Yes.
What are all the personal assistants going to do when we all have Siri to just pick up our laundry for us and everything?
They're
going
to have to adapt and get better at doing superhuman things.
Humans versus robots.
Yeah.
So you mentioned reminders, and that's something that I was able to. By the way, I know everybody that was clamoring to be the first to download iOS 5 yesterday. A lot of you had problems. People said their apps got wiped out. Tom had an issue with his iPhone or just crazy download times.
Right.
We both went ahead and downloaded iOS 5 on our iPads on the same connection, I think at the same time this morning.
Today, right.
It took from beginning to end about 2 hours for me, but nothing was lost.
Yeah,
not even a folder.
Fine.
I mean, everything was restored exactly. So the only thing that is different is that now I have a few apps that didn't exist before. For example, Reminders. So if I go into Reminders, I don't have any yet because I haven't set any. But the idea is these are what something sort of between a calendar entry and something in Notepad.
Actually, the calendar in OS X has always had a Reminders aspect of it, but it really was underutilized. And this now, I believe, ties into it. So they have their own application for it. And it works, obviously, great with Siri. But you can use it standalone, and you just have to manually, of course, enter things in. And I think those, though, do reside. And someone can correct me in the chat room if I'm wrong. But I'm pretty sure they do reside on the calendar app on OS X itself. It's just a little new column that you pull up. It's not a new column, actually, but it is a column there.
It's just something, it's almost like an app that keeps you from reminding yourself in subject lines of email. It's just like another little part of a calendar.
Right. It's a simple app. I mean, there have been a lot of third parties had been doing similar things like this. They had done various different reminder applications, and I think Apple just felt like they should have one that's deeply integrated into the OS itself.
The only thing about Reminders that is annoying is that it won't sync. Like, you can't download Reminders on your Mac.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It will show up in, I believe, in Calendar, in the Calendar application. It will show your Reminders
there. That's the only review that you'll get.
Yeah.
But, well, as long as it syncs, that's great.
Yeah, and it syncs across all your iOS devices because it's tied to your iCloud account.
Cool. So iCloud is another thing that I've actually had a tiny bit of an issue getting my head around because I hadn't been using iOS 5 as a dev account or anything. I mean, I'd seen it running, but for the most part, I'm kind of new to all of this, as I'm sure many of you are also. And I was asking MG, well, where do I find iCloud? And he said, in your settings. I said, well, why is
You're asking the exact wrong question. Like, where do I find iCloud? The whole idea of iCloud is that you don't ever have to think about it.
I know.
Looking for, like, some kind of application.
You're absolutely right. But so if you're like me and you're like, where is iCloud? In fact, somebody I went to high school with asked me on my Facebook wall this morning, how do I find iCloud? And I was trying to answer her, and I was like, I don't know. So it's in your settings. So, of course, you set up an account. I was starting to set up sarah@twit.tv, which is the account I use with my App Store on this iPad because this is Twit's iPad.
It doesn't have to be the same one. Ideally, I think that people, you know, obviously will just have one that they can maintain, but they do make it so that you can maintain a separate iCloud account from your App Store account.
Which is very helpful.
Yeah.
And Apple's never been very good with this before, being able to have more than one iTunes
it's
App Store account.
It's a little clunky. Like right now I have my Mobile Me / now iCloud account hooked up to, you know, of course, all my iOS devices. But I also want to use a secondary email address so I get pinged that way if people are looking for me that way. And you could do it, but it's kind of buried in the settings, and you have to do it the first time on each individual iOS device. It's not like it's tied to that account via iCloud. You have to do it on the devices themselves.
Well, but if you add an additional email address, so you've got, you know, like, for example, like a me.com address and then a Gmail address.
Right.
Why won't it work seamlessly? Because what's the incentive to do that if you're not going to get pinged the way that you want to get pinged?
Because it's just they're not connected together. Those are two separate email addresses. So basically you just have to go into to each iOS device you have, go into the settings, and then you can say associate another email address with this. It's a little confusing, and most people won't have to worry about this. But if you have multiple addresses
like
that you want to get.
Another thing is Newsstand, which, again, I feel a little bit silly about because I said, Well, so I guess nothing that I'm really using is part of newsstand yet because my newsstand was empty. Now, there are some magazines in here now. For example, The New Yorker, which I subscribe to, New York Times, The
Daily,
Wired, and
Spin. And so there's a little sash for the new thing. So it looks like you have a new issue there.
I do. But what was interesting is that newsstand, I thought initially, okay, well, I have newsstand where these magazines should be. Right now, or, you know, up until now, all my magazines were in a little folder I called Reading.
Right.
Some of them are magazines, and some of them are more Google, you know, reader type of...
RSS readers.
Yeah, exactly, RSS readers, and some, you know, NewsMe, and I wouldn't exactly call those magazines their magazine-like. Now none of those magazines actually exist here anymore. They all exist in newsstand.
Right. So there's new APIs with iOS 5 that as long as the magazine app makers are able or, you know, utilize them, then they'll pull them into this new newsstand thing. And instead of being a regular standard size app icon, you get basically the front page or the front cover of the magazine and or a newspaper. So the magazine ones are you know, more vertically rectangular, and then the newspaper ones look more like a newspaper. But so those replace the apps. They still are the apps. It's basically just a new front for the application. But what's really nice is that it shows the newest issue as the front of the application.
I mean, it looks more like a newsstand than it really has.
I love it because I hated having all those separate applications, you know, and I would do the same thing, put them all in a folder, and they just kind of, you know, sat there, and then you'd have to go into them and look to see if there was a new update available. They could do push notifications, and if you happen to catch it before iOS 5, that was a little hard because you'd only get the one, you know, and if you missed it, then you missed it. But now it's better with iOS 5. But now it's great. The greatest thing, in my opinion, about newsstand is that they're able to, the magazine and newspaper makers are able to push updates in the background. So if there's a new issue of, you know, the New York Times coming out every single morning, and if you subscribe to the New York Times, basically when you just boot up your iPad in the morning, it hopefully will be there, ready to go, and you won't have to go into the app itself and say, download this this version of it.
Which is something that Spin Play, I've talked about it on the show before, is like by far one of my favorite apps. I didn't even really read Spin as a music person until they made an iPad app, which I love. But what I would have to do is load up the Spin app.
And then download it.
If there was a new one, then I had the chance to download. And that would not take very long. But sometimes when I was on 3G, it took, you know, solid 10 minutes or so.
Yep. So now hopefully it can do that all overnight, you know, when you're not using your iPad or just in the background when you are using it and you don't have to think about it. So the new issue is just there, kind of like, you know, in the old days when new issues of magazines used to get delivered to your house and you just don't think about it. It just shows up one day and there it is.
I love this. It's great. It's funny because it is identifying certain apps as magazines and others are not, but it's right. I mean, Wired is a magazine, whereas Zeit is not, because that's something that I create myself.
I don't know how they plan, if they plan to do that at all with those kind of things. Like Flipboard is magazine-like, but it's not a magazine. I assume that there's not going to be any way to do that, but maybe in a future version of iOS, they'll allow those people to also use the same APIs so they can, like, Editions is a great example. That AOL application, which is basically creates a new magazine for you on the fly. So they would, of course, love it so that they could do that in the background and say, you know, your new issue is ready for you. They already sort of do that, but it's kind of tricked into doing that. But if they could use these APIs down the road, I'm sure they would love to do something like that.
I think maybe they could have sort of a sub-newsstand that's, you know, hybrids or something. Because I mean, something like Editions or the Daily... Well, no, the Daily actually is,
the Daily is
a straight-up magazine.
Yeah,
something
magazine,
like Editions or Palimpsest, I always get that wrong, Early Edition. I mean, that's all stuff that you curate yourself, so it would be hard for them to say, yeah, this is all exactly the same newsstand, because, of course, we'd have very different experiences.
And they have a new newsstand section that they launched yesterday in the App Store itself, so you can see all the apps that are compatible with the new newsstand feature.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's all in there, because, you know, if you notice on the newsstand itself, so there's the thing, or in... they have the little button for the store in the top corner of it. Yeah, you can see it on mine right here. Up in the top corner, if you just click on store, it'll load right into it.
Oh, you can go straight
to
the store from there.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
So what else is new in iOS 5? Oh, Find My Friends.
Yes.
It's actually called Find Friends.
Yes.
I'm just calling it Find My Friends because I'm used to Find My iPhone. Find Friends is an app that you actually have to download. It won't just appear automagically once iOS 5 is... is set up, but it's there. It's called Find Friends. It's got kind of a, it almost looks like a little bathroom icon, sort of weird.
Oh,
must re-enter your password to continue using Find My Friends. So while I do that, what is Find Friends, MG?
So it's a way, it's a really lightweight way, a really simple way, I'll say, to be able to find anyone, another iOS 5 user that is also using the same application. They, of course, have to download it themselves, too. And then once you establish a connection between the people, then you basically can find anyone.
So you and I are connected.
Yeah.
I have one friend, and it's you, and you happen to be sitting right next to me. So
right. There's
me, and you're in the purple here right next to me.
Yeah.
But if you weren't...
On my screen, I have a few different friends, if you want to cut out. Yeah, so I have you, Jacob, and Anand. And so you can see you're 0 miles away from me. Of course, we're both right up here. But Jacob and Anand are both in the city down here. So if I click on one of them, it'll show exactly where he is.
Everyone
right
knows
now.
Where Jacob is. Isn't
and the way that this works is, so it's not too battery intensive because it's not always on. It basically, if I just wanted to find where Jacob is and I load up the app, it'll start, it's like locating him right now, and it pings his phone one time when I load that up to see where he is.
But he doesn't necessarily know. Him. He doesn't have to say, yes, let MG see me.
Right. So if he wants to turn it off, there's a setting in the me settings where it's basically you can hide from followers really quickly if you want to be
incognito for a little while.
You are. But the main idea is that you wouldn't set up a connection with someone who you weren't comfortable with knowing where you are pretty much at all times. If you did have someone like that, you would want to use this other tab, which is temporary, and you can temporarily invite friends based on their iCloud address, and you can set an end date and time for when you want them to stop being able to follow you.
So that's less about people that aren't really your friends and more about, let's say there was like a restaurant crawl night where they were going to, you know, everybody at Twit was going to be like on a treasure hunt around the city, and we really didn't need to always be hooked up, but for that night, it would be very helpful to know where everybody was.
So temporary connections that expire after a certain amount of time.
I foresee some issues where people forget
that it's on,
that they're connected to their girlfriend or mom. Or...
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. There's a few interesting aspects of iOS 5 that could be weird. It's like one element of iOS 5, which we haven't talked about yet, is Photo Stream, which is where you can keep taking pictures over and over again, and then those pictures then get transferred to all different devices. So iPhoto, the new version of iPhoto, has it built in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a call right now. Sorry about that.
It's all right. He's a VC now, so he does a lot of calls about deals.
So I'm ignoring that. Okay.
I don't know.
But so the photo will get sent to iPhoto. There's a new version of Apple TV that it will get sent to. So what if you're doing something, say you're doing something illegal, I don't know what, buying fireworks where you're not supposed to or something like that
from some random thing. Yeah.
And you just start, sending out pictures, and then all of a sudden, like, say you're a teenager doing that, and then all of a sudden your mother at home has the screensaver on for Apple TV, and it's showing these new pictures coming in real time of what you're doing, and it's just like, you can foresee a lot of potential issues there.
Well, that just goes with the territory of being connected on multiple devices. You just have to think about
But I agree with you that for Find My Friends, this was sort of an issue back in the day with Latitude, which was Google's location service, where it was always on in the background, and so you kind of always could see where people were. You have to really remember that you have that turned on, because if you don't remember to turn it off and you don't want someone knowing where you're going, then that could be an issue.
Well, last night we were sitting at dinner, and you were showing me how Find Friends worked, and you and your friend Jacob, who we know is in San Francisco right now.
Right.
You said, for example, let's see where Jacob is. And we loaded it up, and he was like on the corner at the restaurant that we were at, and we thought, oh, that's weird. It just didn't really work. Let's try it again.
Right.
And when we tried it again, he was like 10 blocks away. And then you pinged him finally and said, were you just driving by? And it turns out that we had just looked him up as he was driving by our restaurant, not knowing that we were there.
Right.
And then we sort of tracked him on his way home,
mm-hmm.
which was just bizarrely coincidental, but it was actually very accurate after all. We just thought it was inaccurate. Finally, messages. So this is Apple's way of getting around SMS, which I love in theory, because that's why I love Facebook Messenger, and that's why I loved Beluga and GroupMe and the variety of other group messaging apps.
Right.
that allow you to circumvent texting. So in a perfect world, you could get rid of a texting plan and save yourself some money. Although none of the carriers really offer that because they like force you to buy even a lower texting plan.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening with that.
But yeah, it's a little confusing because of, again, just the MobileMe / iCloud way that they do it, which is through email address, which gives it a little bit of a bigger barrier to entry, that, in my opinion, than something like Facebook Messages, which, you know, everyone knows what your Facebook account is, assuming you're connected that way. And so that's easy to message someone that way and then send it to the mobile device. This is a little bit more convoluted, but I think Apple's idea is that as these things all come together between messages and things like Find My Friends even, and some of the other services that they have now, FaceTime, for example, that they have tied into to that MobileMe / iCloud account, you'll be able to kind of wrap all those things together and people will be connected that way.
I will say for the iPad, considering that texting wasn't an option and
yeah, that's great.
Group messaging, actually with the new Facebook app,
you can do
messaging within inside the Facebook app works nicely and it's optimized for the iPad. And messages, iMessages, I mean, what's it? I mean, it's called Messages.
Yeah, just Messages.
Messages, although it has the same
Because it's important
icon.
To know, well, on the iPad it's different because there never was a Messages
right.
version. But on the iPhone, they're both integrated into the same thing. iMessage, which is technically the one where you use, you know, the iCloud accounts. And then the SMS version, which was always just Messages, those are actually the same thing. They determine or show you the difference between the two of them using color. I think one of them is green and one is blue. So if you do a green message, you know that you're connected to that person via iMessages, so you're not using SMS at all to use it. And that can be important
smart.
Just in case you don't have an SMS plan at all and you know that it costs you 25 cents or whatnot to have to send a message that way.
And finally, before we move on.
Someone said in
the
chat
iOS room, 5 all day.
SMS is green, iMessage is blue. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go. So, green and blue.
Yes.
Finally, notifications. It's funny. I was almost positive that during the show, by now, I would have
gotten
a great notification.
I don't think I got one either.
But I didn't.
I've gotten a few.
Nobody said anything to me. All right, so that is the new and improved drop-down menu. You mentioned earlier...
Someone messaged me already on iMessages because I think you put up my...
Oh, sorry.
That's
funny. Way to go, Josh. That's a pretty...
Yeah.
Public email address,
everyone
hopefully.
Knows that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's you pull down notifications, and that's a variety of stuff that would have been that single notification box, as you said.
Yep.
Once you get another notification, if you haven't seen that first one, it's kind of gone.
Right.
Sometimes they pop up later.
It was awful the way that would happen. I would use one of my favorite apps, one of my most used apps was actually Boxcar, because that was a way to actually manage all the notifications coming in, and you could see it. And I still use it. I still have it on my screen here. It's just a great way to, it's loading up here, but yeah, an easy way to pull in all the different notifications coming in.
So between the two of these, you still have a need for Boxcar. This is just an easier way to keep track of.
Yeah, some of the high-level important ones, I would say. I still use Boxcar to pull in, like, when I get a new email every single time, which I don't pull into the notification center because there's just too many of them coming in. But for the high-level ones, it's great.
And for as far as notifications go, I mean, on mine, if I pull it down, even though I didn't get anybody pinging me in the last few minutes, I've got my calendars here. You know, reminder, need guest co-host. Before MG had agreed, I was trying to figure out who was going to replace Leo today. A few people I had, you know, written on my Facebook wall. So I love this. I mean, it's like night and day. It really, really, really makes notifications for the first time usable.
Yeah.
Rather than just a mess.
Yep.
So... everything that we've talked about, there was quite a lot of information. Many of you are already on iOS 5, and so you've either had great experiences with this or terrible problems downloading, or maybe you've held off because you had heard that people had terrible times downloading. I can say, and I can't vouch for anybody, that my experience took a couple hours, but it was absolutely painless. I lost nothing, at least nothing that I can find. And I have pretty complicated folders set up, and I was pretty worried about that. I did not want to do that over from scratch. So worked like a dream.
And it's also important to note that now with iOS 5, you can do things like backup to iCloud instead of having to backup to a computer. I mean, that's really one of the kind of underplayed but important aspects of that, that you can now use an iPad without having a computer at all. You can set it up from scratch. I've done it several times because I've had to restore using some of the developer builds earlier on and going to restore to a new build. You basically, you know, you get an easy walkthrough tutorial of how to set up a new iPad, and you can do it completely without attaching to a computer at all, and you can do that with an iPhone now as well.
Which is that post-PC era
right.
that we've been hearing about, but everyone said, how is it post-PC if you need a PC?
But this is great for someone like my parents who, you know, might not have, well, first of all, they might not have any idea of how to, you know, sync with iTunes and be able to do that. They don't have any iOS devices right now, but if they went to a store and wanted to get an iPad and then they just wanted to set it up out of the box, now they can do that.
Perfect. All right, so lots of information in iOS 5. And thanks for bringing in that iPhone 4S, by the way.
Yes, yes. Very...
Something that I'm still trying to figure out. I have been gifted an iPhone 4S for my birthday from somebody great. And I'm trying to figure out, should I brave the crowds tomorrow morning in the retail store? I'm just not sure.
Sounds like it's going to be pretty crazy. It's sold out across, well, it's pre-sold out across all carriers
right.
in the U.S.
But then you figure if they all, and now you've got Sprint stores as well.
Right.
I can't even think of where a Sprint store is because I haven't been a customer of theirs. Well, I never have. But you figure, well, maybe that'll disperse people a little bit better, but I don't know.
Yeah, your best bet is probably up here, around here.
Yeah, maybe like the Corte Madera store or something.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if I, you know, if I'm brave enough, hopefully I'll walk in here tomorrow, at least for TNT with an iPhone 4S. In the meantime, if you missed anything that we talked about and you were like, well, wait a second, how does newsstands work or what are reminders or I don't really know, you can always watch the show again if you're not watching live. Of course, if you are, you know when we're shooting, but if you're not, we record iPad Today Live on Thursdays, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 1:30 p.m. Pacific. It's a lot of fun. If you're in the chat room, you can talk back to us. It's kind of a, what do we call that? The hive mind. Of Twit. And if you've missed the show, don't worry about it because the best part is we're on demand. So you can watch or listen. We have audio and video feeds anytime you want, whenever you have time. You can save up a few shows to watch in batches. You can watch them one by one. Twit.tv/IPT is our, it's the mothership of the show. We've got all of our last 67 episodes. We are on episode 67, man. That is pretty impressive. Just click on any show. You've got information about what we're talking about. We've got the nice video embedded right there. And, of course, subscribe links as well. So you can subscribe to nice high res or lower res if you do a lot of watching on a mobile device. Just watch through iTunes. Variety of other ways as well. So thank you so much to everybody who has subscribed. And if you haven't yet, you should, because it just takes the pressure off of you to remember, when are they live and did I miss a show? You'll just have it all at your fingertips. All right, before we get into some of your viewer feedback and a little bit more news, want to take a moment to thank GoToMyPC. They're the first sponsor of iPad Today today. It's funny, Leo usually talks about GoToMyPC, and I just sit and listen to him and nod because they're so great, but the deal about GoToMyPC, if you're not familiar with the folks at Citrix who are awesome, is that it allows you to access your computer when you're not at home. Now, we're very mobile people. We've got all of our devices. We take them with us. But sometimes MG might have something on his computer at home where he goes, oh no, there's a file on my computer and I didn't remember to sync it anywhere. That I need to access that computer. If you download GoToMyPC software, and by the way, they have a great iPad app, so it's perfect for folks like us. You download that app, and all of a sudden, you have access to your PC as if you had packed it in your little messenger bag with you. But you didn't have to do that at all. It's as if you bring your home office with you on the go. You can access files. You can make changes to files. You can share files with others. Any program, truly, on your PC, it's just a click away. So the deal is that if you think I have a use for GoToMyPC, but I'm not sure if it's the right program for me, we're going to give you an offer. Go to GoToMyPC.com and click the Try It Free button, and you get 30 days free. Now, how are you going to do that? You enter your name, your email address, and in the promo code, you just type iPad. It's as easy as pie. IPAD. That's the promo code for 30 days free of GoToMyPC at GoToMyPC.com. And we thank them for sponsoring this episode of iPad Today. So, MG, earlier we were talking about Find Friends and how it can help you and me keep track of each other physically.
Right.
When you're somewhere, I can look you up and my iPad or my iPhone pings your device and now I know where you are. But Foursquare actually has updated recently. This was something that they needed iOS 5 for.
Right.
To include something called Radar, which is sort of the same thing, but more robust.
Yeah, it's much more robust. I mean, you know, Find My Friends, I think Apple just envisioned that people would use it basically with family members. I think that was the key part of it. They call it Friends because I think that they wanted to make it more, a bit more broader than just, you know, your family. But I think they envision a lot of people, you know, where's my teenage kid at on a Friday night, mm-hmm. and being able to do that. And they actually have controls on Find My Friends where you can, where you're not able to turn it off, like if you're a teenager. So there's no way to disable it.
So Mom, you're the worst.
But Foursquare's thing, Radar, is obviously a much more broad idea that they've been working on, it seems like, for a while. You know, the initial reaction would be, oh, was this a reaction to Find My Friends? I think Foursquare has been trying to do this for a long time. I think, you know, this seems like it was really an obvious idea, really from the get-go of Foursquare, where you have the app installed, and anytime you walk by a place that might be interesting to you, it'll ping you. It'll send you a push notification. Or if you walk by, say, you know, three of your friends are together at a certain venue, at a certain bar, it'll ping you if you're really close by, too, to say, hey, three of your friends are here. Why don't you go check that place out?
And the way it pings you is it buzzes, right?
Yeah, it buzzes on your phone. It sends you a push notification.
Now,
this is really easy to turn on and off. There's, in the new application itself, there's a
little, in the upper left. It looks almost like a little, I don't know, bullseye type thing. So radars are now
it's a
off.
Radar. Symbol, but yeah.
It's a radar symbol. It's like a bullseye, right. Except that it's not. So now I have it on. So, right, I mean, I'm not going anywhere, but if I were to walk by Petaluma Market, for example, maybe they have some sort of a Living Social deal.
Yes.
Or if I buy a chicken, I get a second chicken.
I haven't seen anything with the deals yet. So I've had it on for, you know, the past 24 hours since they launched it. It's alerted me a few times when I've walked by a place that I check into a lot, like a cafe near our apartment. It'll say, hey, we see you're near this cafe. Do you want to check in here? I've also seen a few things where I've added things to my to-do list, and it will, you know, ping me and let me know, hey, this is on your to-do list. Do you want to do this right now?
Okay, so that makes to-do lists on Foursquare more helpful.
A lot more helpful,
what's helpful about a cafe you go to often and Foursquare saying, hey, do you want to go to that cafe that you go to often?
No, they're just saying, do you want to check in here, basically. I think that they're using
it... Like to get a mayorship?
They're using it as a way to spur on usage, you know, because, like, a lot of people go places and they just forget to check in. But, you know, you and I usually don't do that. We remember to check in everywhere. But a lot of people, you know, just passively use it and maybe just have it on their phone, but really, you know, aren't really that into using it. So this is a way for them to get people more engaged with the product.
I know many people who say, Foursquare, I don't know how you keep up. Why do you keep up?
Yeah.
And I think for both of us, it's a breadcrumb trail as much as it is telling other people where we are. But somebody in chat had mentioned earlier, can't get radar with a Wi-Fi only iPad. Remember that Foursquare is much more useful on a mobile phone than an iPad.
I don't think people are carrying around their iPad in the street, you know. Well, some people are.
I take my iPad to the gym almost every morning, and that's how I check into Foursquare because I don't bring my phone with me. So it certainly works fine. But yes, if you're Wi-Fi only, something like radar isn't going to make a lot of sense for you. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Yep.
A little gem we found in the App Store, actually, from your friends over at TechCrunch. When I say your friends over at TechCrunch, it's because you still are a columnist for TechCrunch, but you've actually moved into a different job recently.
Right. Yeah. So I'm a VC now.
So, but you're still writing for TechCrunch. So people who know you TechCrunch will
I'm
know.
I'm going to be covering, you know, not all of the Apple beat. There's so much stuff going on at Apple. It's now, you know, the largest tech company in the world. So there's stories every day that I won't be covering every day. But a lot of the bigger news, I'll be covering things like, you know, the giant launches of new products. I'll still be writing about and doing things, you know, like earnings reports next week. They're doing that. I'll be covering that stuff. So,
well, since you decided to move into your new job, there certainly has been a lot of Apple news.
Yes.
I mean, it's like if there was any week where you said, hey, everybody, I'm leaving, you've written more than ever.
Yeah.
It's just kind of interesting timing.
Right. And so when you say my friends at TechCrunch, yes, they still are my friends. They're still my colleagues at TechCrunch. And yes. They wrote about this new interesting application.
Yeah, it's called Maid Control. It's M-A-I-D-E Control. And it caught my eye because it is an app that you install on your iPad that helps you navigate through a variety of kind of like CAD programs. Actually, it's somewhat limited right now. Maid Control only works currently for SketchUp and Rhino on Windows. So this is Google SketchUp, which you may or may not be familiar with, running on a Windows machine, or a program called Rhino, which I'm less familiar with, although they say AutoCAD and Mac programs to come. But they've got a really nice concept video, Chad. If you want to roll that, it gives us a great idea of why somebody would want something like this. Chad is pulling up the video now. He wanted it to be suspenseful.
Is it in the...
You know, I could just play it from my computer if you want to take my screen. You want to do that?
Yeah, do that.
Okay. Let's do that.
Make Control makes using CAD simple, collaborative, and intuitive. Allows you to use multi-touch gestures to pan, zoom, and orbit. You can rapidly change your views or quickly fit your model to the screen. Use gestures to easily access tools and commands. You even have the full functionality of your mouse and keyboard. For the first time, you can present your models without being chained to your computer. You can also use this app to improve your current professional setup. Use your iPad for camera control and command selection, while simultaneously using your mouse for precision modeling. Much of the fun of designing comes from working together. You can now connect multiple iPads to one model. Now anyone can take control. You, or anyone connected to the model, can now save a render to your iPad and send it via email. Just connect, and you're ready to go. Made. Making CAD simple.
All right, so that's Made. I love this. Now, I'm not a big, I don't know, I mean, I'm not building a city or
You're not big
even,
into AutoCAD?
No, but something like SketchUp, let's say you're moving into a new apartment and you've done your dimensions and you're trying to figure out, so it's like you know that your couch is 10 by, you know, 2 feet deep type
right.
of a thing. And you're trying to rearrange something. Something like SketchUp could be great for that. And wouldn't it be fun if the two of us were trying to figure out how to arrange stuff and we've both got Made Control downloaded on our iPads.
Yep.
And we can do something collaborative in that way. I mean, this is great for meetings or, you know, anybody in this industry. But even if you're not like some sort of a city planner, I can see where this would come in really handy. And obviously, if Made does well, then a lot of other apps will start.
Well, they've had, you know, a lot. AutoCAD has had different tools and stuff that you can use to draw and mm-hmm. different things outside of just using a computer, or trying to use a computer and a mouse to be able to do stuff because you need as much precision as possible. But this is a new, interesting way just to, you know, really interact with these kind of programs. And I think it, you know, points to what a lot of people are starting to use the iPad for, which is not just the iPad itself, using it for applications on the device, but using it for applications outside of the device, you know, with all the AirPlay stuff going on now. You'll be able to push all that stuff to your computer, or sorry, to your TV screen, and you'll be able to play games and stuff using the iPad as a controller, but the main screen as, you know, the screen thing. So I
right.
think that there's a huge market that's this speaks to and is starting to come into being, which is you know, using the iPad for other purposes outside of just the apps
right.
themselves.
Right, as a remote or a drawing
yeah.
tool, or, you know, even kind of like a mouse pad type of a thing. Yeah, it's great. I love seeing stuff like that. If anybody is using Made Control and has any good sort of case study, something that we haven't thought about, write us, iPadToday@twit.tv, and let us know, because it's always nice to know how people are using this in the real world, because we can sort of only speculate. All right, let's get into some viewer feedback. First email from Brent, who says, "My dearest iPad Today, I'm surprised you haven't talked about the new Bjork app album, Biophilia. I know Bjork isn't everyone's cup of tea, but is truly a first and a great new way to experience music. I think it's worth mentioning. Thanks for all the shows and helping me get through my workday." He also says, "I was tempted to send you adorable pictures of my three cats, but decided that Leo wouldn't like that very much. I wish he would have known that it was MG here today, because MG loves cats. Certainly loves pictures of other people's cats.
Almost as much as I love Bjork."
Yeah. So, oh, okay. Do you have any Bjork albums?
No, but I was in Iceland and I right. met someone who knew Bjork.
Well, aren't there? Everyone's
I think
kind
everyone
of like,
knows Bjork.
It's like a cousin network there. Or it's like everybody's like at least a second
well,
cousin.
Well, there's very
or less.
Few people there. There's only a few hundred thousand, several hundred thousand people. So everyone's.
So you feel like an affinity to Bjork because you were in her home country.
Yes.
So,
at some point, I was maybe 1,000 feet away from her. Maybe. Possibly.
Unless she was in another country. Which
we experienced the same volcano together.
Well, all right. I'm not going to take that away from you. Okay. You're right. You and Bjork have something special. So you might actually like this app called Biophilia. And it's worth mentioning that this app is free. The shell, I guess, of the app is free to download. So I've went ahead and I'll launch it again. Here's Biophilia, the app. So I'm within this app. And by the way, this app took forever to download, I guess, because we've got all these sort of fancy renderings right off the bat.
What does the name mean anyway? That's just the name of the album?
Yeah, it's the name of her album.
It sounds a little sketchy. It sounds like pedophilia.
Well, it's not pedophilia. It's biophilia. And I think it's supposed to be like someone who's like a biophile, like you're obsessed with science. That's what I would get from it.
Okay.
Now, okay, so here are a variety of... it's like songs that I could choose from. So I'm just going to go ahead and click on Virus, because why not, right? Now, swipe a finger to orbit. Okay, so I'm looking at this... Ooh, all right, so we've got some 3D action going on here. Now, I believe... Let me turn this up a little bit. That this is... Oh. Okay, so this is now the song Virus. And now it's telling me a little bit of information about the song. I don't want to play too much of it. Oh, gosh, how do I get out of this? Okay, I'll go back here. Because I don't want to, you know, ruffle anybody's feathers. But this is the album that I'm looking at in an extremely sort of hard to understand 3D atmosphere here, where she has created songs that have visual elements that go along with them. So as you play the song... Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Oh, I see. Okay. I see what's going on here. Here's the deal. You can buy all the songs separately for $2 each. This is the ruffling the feathers that I told you about earlier, is that this album was not released in full earlier in the year. Only a few of the songs were, and so people who love Bjork went ahead and, you know, spent $6 for three songs. The entire album is now available to download within the app for $10, which saves you a little bit of money if you hadn't bought those apps individually already.
Yeah.
But anybody could argue that if you buy one TV show on iTunes,
right,
well, you would have saved if you've gotten that season pass.
Right.
So that's the deal. So if I go ahead and buy the app, which I can go ahead and do, then you end up getting these songs. Yes, I would love to buy this app for $1.99. I'll go ahead and enter my password here. Sorry, Leo. These are some of the purchases, because it's his credit card account that he'll sometimes look after and be like, what was that for? And I go, it was research.
Buying some pedophilia app?
It's not pedophilia. It's a very different word. So if I go ahead and play the app, it's a weird thing to think about. This is Bjork's song with the visuals that she wants you to associate with the song. So this isn't a music video. This is not some, like, you know, Lamborghini and Crystal type of, like, big budget type of video. This is Bjork's kind of interactive, I want you to play around with my vision and my song type thing. Let's be honest, Bjork can be thought of as a little bit eccentric, mm-hmm. a little bit strange. This is not going to appeal to everybody. I have done some reading online where people are like, you know, this is kind of crazy and wacky, but she's the first to do something like this.
Yeah,
and if you're into her music, and you know, who's your favorite artist in the world?
Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam. Okay, so Pearl Jam decides to release a new CD. There's 10 songs on it, and you can download the Pearl Jam app for free. You buy all the 10 songs within for $10, and each song has this neat, like, component, and they write up a paragraph about what they were thinking at the time. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Because you're into the artist.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so Bjork, Biophilia, again, the app is free. The songs, if you buy them in bulk, are $10. Definitely check it out, and thanks, Brent, for the heads up that the album is now complete. Bjork is always ahead of the curve. All right, now to voicemails. This one is from Andre, who loves his history.
Hello, Leo and Sarah. This is Andre from Bowie, Maryland. Fantastic show, as always. What I wanted to find out from you guys this week is, what apps would you recommend for history buffs? I mean, there are a number of things I realize the iPad is good at, and I was thinking of some historical apps that may be presented on the show. Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks, Andre, from, did you say Maryland? All right, so, wow, where do we start? Historical apps are, it's almost like if you are interested in a type of history, there is probably an app for you.
Right. I'm sure there's many Civil War apps, for example.
And right.
Random, like, for everything you want. But, you know, some of the ones that I have on mine, on my iPad, that are related in some ways, at least, to history, is, of course, Discover, which is a nice way to browse Wikipedia articles, and they kind of serve up a new one each day for something to focus on and kind of dive into it and look in a nice way. Quickie, of course, has their element to it, which also uses, you know, a lot of Wikipedia data, but pulls in a lot of historical context and adds a different way to look at history. I know you have some other ones, right, that you were looking at?
Yeah, actually, so you mentioned Discover, which I think it's probably even better for someone like Andre than Quickie, because Quickie is, it's more of a I want to look
overview.
You up type of a thing,
yeah, yeah.
And it goes... It's a very great app, but Discover is great because, let's say Andre wants to look up something on the origin of uranium. That's just what they're offering up today, is kind of their splash page. It is Wikipedia in visual form. So it's quite a lot of fun to just browse around, because we all love trolling Wikipedia every once in a while. I'm not writing fake things or anything, but I just mean, you know, you get on weird Wikipedia pages and you start reading about stuff you never knew you cared about.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same thing. The only thing about it is, if you can see on this progress bar, it downloads data from Wikipedia as you browse along. So you really want to make sure your connection's solid, because it's kind of clunky if it isn't. That said, it's everything you could ever want in Wikipedia, but it's presented in, it's almost like a flipboard of Wikipedia,
yeah,
you could think
I
of
love
it as.
That, yeah.
So that's kind of anything as far as reference that you might ever want to know about. Encyclopedia Britannica now has an app.
That's great for history.
If you're a history buff or, I don't know, just a knowledge information buff in any sense, then that's great too. MG, you had... I had showed off a Woodstock app.
Right.
It's called Road to Woodstock.
Road to Woodstock, yeah. So that was interesting from, if you're just interested in something specifically, you know, you have it on your screen. It mm-hmm. showed, it's a great way to learn about everything that went down at Woodstock from day to day. You know, it has a little timeline at the bottom to showcase
right.
All the different...
How it came to be, what
yep.
it was like there.
And you can listen to the music, you can watch videos, they have stories.
Absolutely. Yeah, this was... one of the coolest apps I'd ever seen. Oh, hey, that video didn't work. Not HTML5 friendly, I guess. But this is just an example of something where it's like, hey, this is extremely specific, but these kind of apps are definitely out there.
Yeah.
I mean, Woodstock. In fact, this company has just created something new, and it's escaping me. I meant to review it on a
yeah, they have,
upcoming show.
They have a Band of the Day.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's not... And right now, it's not meant for iPad specifically. It's only for iPhone, but they are coming out with an iPad.
Eventually.
Version.
Well, because their Woodstock app is beautiful. I mean,
yep.
it's as far as being iPad specific, it doesn't get much better than that. So I guess, long story short, Andre, is that if you want something specific, I don't know, App Store searches can be very fruitful. And otherwise...
I just did a search of the App Store for history. It brought up 1,878 iPad specific apps, and then 3,300... 3,000 different iPhone apps. So, yeah, there's a lot out there.
What if I put in...
Maps of the world, history, world book, dinosaurs, any kind of thing you can want, U.S. presidents.
If I search for Civil War, which is... It seems like Civil War is one of those very specific time periods
people
get really into. My mom actually went through a Civil War period. She didn't really talk about anything else for a while. It was... Well, you know, we're through it now. But, now, of course, my connection is crappy now. But I'm sure there are quite a few Civil War apps once that ends up loading. While I'm waiting for it to load, let's play. Okay, so I'm going to set this up with many of you. In fact, hundreds of you have written in and said, why don't you guys review more peripherals, more accessories, iPad cases, external keyboards, Bluetooth headsets, all that sort of stuff. And we want to, and we try to here and there. The problem is that if we kind of open those floodgates, that's all we'd be doing. And we want to do more of that. But We did get a video from a nice man down under who reviewed a couple of cases. And I thought this actually might be a fun, reoccurring viewer segment where you review something that makes your iPad better and you send it in to us, because then we have somebody who's actually using it. So we don't get a bunch of products in here just to say, well, this is junk. We don't like this. So without further ado, here's our first quick and dirty fan case review.
Hi, iPad Today gang. My name is Patrick from South Australia. Now, I'm going to give you a quick review of a couple of iPad cases, specifically ones that have keyboards in them. I own two. This one was $20 off eBay, and it is a folio-style case, which is really convenient, and you know, your iPad sits up in there, and you can type and just fold it up quickly and easily. My problem with this is the faux leather is wearing quite quickly, and also the keyboard, while being excellent, doesn't have a shift key on the right hand side, which is really annoying. But good little Bluetooth keyboard, that doesn't bother you. $20, you're laughing. My preferred case though is the Zagmate. You know, it protects your iPad in transit. You probably want to put some plastic transfer cover on there to protect the actual metal, but popping this one out, you know, your iPad sits in there quite easily. You can change the orientation really easily. So very convenient, and a beautiful keyboard with a shift key on both sides. You get what you pay for. Landed in Australia, this cost me about $100. Worth every penny. There's a couple of dings around this where it's been dropped and all that sort of thing. Protected the iPad beautifully. So that's my quick and dirty review of both of these. And I guess the takeaway from this is you get what you pay for. Thanks very much. Bye.
Amen, Patrick. Thank you for the awesome video. So he likes that Zagmate. I can't imagine only having a shift key on one side. That is such a deal breaker. Yeah. Even if it was only $20 on eBay, it's like, that's not going to be helpful at all if you're going to be typing a lot.
I've never been a big fan of cases. I know you had the Dodo case, right?
Which I had the Dodo case until I ran over it at the gym. Right. But now my smart cover
it's served me well.
People seem to have issues not covering the back of their iPads. That's not an issue for me. I don't. Yeah. It's not like it's on.
Do you mean just the camera specifically, or are they just worried about scratching
yeah,
the back of it?
They don't want the back scratch. But it's like I don't know.
It's not bad.
I take this around with me. I mean, I cart it to and from work, and I take it to the gym, and I take it out.
Yeah, the only thing I actually don't like too much about the smart cover is that when you put it in a bag, like a looser bag, like mine is, it has a tendency sometimes to just flop down a little bit, uh-huh, you know, rather than staying tautly on there. So that's the only thing I don't like about it. It's also pretty expensive for what it is, especially the leather ones. Like you have a red leather thing,
and I do.
You know, but overall, I think, you know, that's a pretty great case that you can get for it.
Absolutely, and it helps turn it on and off. It's worked out well for me, but obviously, people like their iPads the way that they like them. So if you keep making case reviews or, you know, any accessory review, and you try to keep them, you know, nice and tight, then we will keep playing them. So thank you, Patrick. Reminder, you want to email us, iPadToday@twit.tv. You want to call us, 757-504-IPAD is our Google Voice number. Or, of course, you can send us a video the way Patrick did. Just upload it to YouTube or Vimeo or anywhere else that you can host a video and send us the link so we don't have to open any attachments. All right, while we're getting ready for our AppCap Awards, I know this is MG's favorite part of the show. Want to quickly thank Slingbox, their second sponsor on iPad Today today. MG, have you heard of the Slingbox folks? Do you know what they make?
Yes.
So the best thing about Slingbox is that they have an iPad app now. So, I mean, it couldn't be more perfect for the show. We love sponsors that have great apps that we can use. Here's the deal. You get a Slingbox player, right? And you can check them out at Best Buy and see a demo, or you can go to slingbox.com and they've got really great demo tutorials there so you can get a sense of what are you buying here. The deal is that Slingbox creates the ability to watch anything your cable TV could offer up, anything you've DVR'd live, absolutely live. From wherever you are, whether it is the Slingbox software running on a MacBook or your Windows machine or your iPad, for example. So you're at the DMV. Okay, so DMV, nobody wants to be there. And you've got a nice 3G iPad, so you're picking up a great signal. And you think, wouldn't it be nice if I could watch some Desperate Housewives? Well, it's not live right now because it's 3 p.m., but I did DVR it, and I think I'm two episodes back. You can watch all of that on your Slingbox player while you're out and about. You can even pause. You can scrub back and forth. You can fast forward through commercials. You can act as if you are at home on your couch watching your cable television. Now, MG is sort of, we're sitting here kind of like nodding because we don't actually have cable TV.
Right.
But, hey, I know. We cord cutters are, you know, we're a proud bunch, but most people do. And Slingbox really, really, really makes pain for that awesome cable, you know, that package that you have that has all the great movie channels. Think of how awesome it is when you have something like this and you can break out of your house and watch whatever you want when you want. Slingbox.com/twit is the URL to use so that when you decide to sign up for one of these bad boys, they know that you came through us. And we thank them so much for sponsoring this episode of iPad Today. They've been a very loyal sponsor of ours for some time, so they are great. All right, it's AppCap time. Who wants to put a hat on? I'm sorry. See, the thing is that Leo and I created this part of the show because we like wearing hats and we don't have a lot of shame. Well, you know what? There is no shame involved. Look how good you look. You look awesome. You look a little dingy. I don't know where that pan has been.
Yeah, it's kind of dirty feeling.
It's a, well, it looks a little dirty too, but it's really nice. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. You know, you a Pablo Sandoval fan? Is that where this came from?
You look like Yogi Bear's
I'd like to think I look like Indiana Jones, ready to go fight somebody.
You look like you're going to hunt Yogi Bear down.
Well, I may be more of a park ranger than an Indiana. That's fine. It's AppCap Award time. This is the part of the show where MG and I will crown our weekly AppCap winner. That is any app that we like. Just something that's cool that stands out to us as an awesome app. So this week, I actually have something. I usually don't review apps that aren't available to the public yet, but I was lucky enough to get in on some alpha testing of an app called 500px, as in 500 pixels. This is a photography website that's been around for a while that is really, if you wanted to compare it to Flickr, the way that they are different is Flickr is very much a storage device for many people. Yes, many very talented photographers will put their photos up in Flickr and arrange them in sets and collections and add metadata and give them nice titles. But there's a, it's not necessarily everybody's best 10 photographs. 500px is very much more so like a community for people who are very talented, take this very seriously. It's not sort of just an everyday, oh, I took a picture of a tree, it wasn't that good, I took it on my iPhone type thing. This is serious business. And their iPad app is awesome. So I'm looking now at the popular page. So we're all familiar with popular pages because of, you know, things like Instagram or, you know, even Flickr.
So
these are all
either,
photos.
Giant cats or half-naked women.
Or
ships wrecked
in a sand
desert,
dune, yeah. For example. And you, as you see, I'm just, well, yes. So there's some scantily clad women, but they're very nice looking. Photographers like that sort of thing. Here's a nice little insect in a rainstorm hanging on to a little branch, whatever. So this is just kind of like, wow, look at the, you know, the, these amazing photos that people can take. These are not people I know. These are not even people I've connected to on the site. That's just the popular page. You've also got upcoming, which is photos that are new and, you know, possibly may make the popular page at some times. Here's fresh. So these are photos that have just been uploaded. Then I can go to my page. So this is my personal page. Now, it's funny because there's some pictures of us up here. I'll actually show you not a at all good picture of me and Sam the cat, who sleeps in a weird way. So this is not a very professional picture. And I realized this after I uploaded some pictures. You know what? This is not just like a, here's a cutesy collection. This is actually stuff where, you know, a picture like this that, you know, I think, oops, did we crash? Oh, no, we didn't crash. That's weird.
It might be a weird aspect ratio.
Oh, that's possible. It's possible. Let's try this one. Okay, so this, I'm less proud of this picture because it's a bad picture of me. But let's say this is one of my favorite pictures ever, and I was really proud of it, and I really wanted to share it with the 500px community. This is where I would do this. They also have a slideshow feature, which is a way so you can either watch your own slideshow or someone else's while you play music, and you can choose music from within your iTunes library. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, let's say you were at a party and you wanted to showcase, I don't know, anything really, anything that you wanted to put together, that makes it kind of fun. It doesn't have to be a party. It could just be at your desk at work, or you just wanted to impress somebody, or you wanted to make your trip, you know, your London trip that you just took, you wanted to make it more fun for me. You'd be right. Like, okay, here's this new Iron and Wine song. Sit back and watch my slideshow and kind of enjoy it the way that I would like you to enjoy it. Obviously, if I'm browsing around and I really like a photo, I can add it to my favorites. We're all familiar with that concept as well. I don't actually have, you know, really any favorites right now. I also don't have any friends because I'm new to the service. By the way, they're based in Toronto, so favorite is spelled with an O-U. Some people appreciate that sort of thing. And these guys are just really nice. They've been kind enough to let me play around with their app as it was going through its various phases. They have submitted it to the App Store, so it should be live probably early next week. So I thought that everyone would appreciate a new look so that when it does come live, you can say, actually, Sarah likes this, and I think this might be a lot of fun for me, especially if you're a photography buff. I actually think Twit Photo would get a lot out of this. They might be able to discover some new photographers. So that's mine. Go.
All right. So if we cut over to my screen. The one I'm going to pick is Verbs, which is an instant messaging app. It's actually been out for a while for iOS devices, but it was mainly only for iPhone, iPod Touch before. Now it's actually available for iPad as well. And I really like, obviously, there's a lot of IM apps out there. I like the design of this one. I like the simplicity of this one. And this is the one I use all the time. And so I'm really happy that they brought it to the iPad itself. They also have a paid version of it. This one I have right on this iPad is the free version. The paid version allows you to basically stay online a bit longer, I think for 7 days or something, and it'll keep pinging you in the background when you get things, when you get notifications that come in. But basically, you can set it up with all your accounts. You've got your Google Talk accounts. You've got your AOL Instant Messenger account. You can also, a few other ones here, we've got MobileMe, and we've got Facebook. Of course, MobileMe will be changed into iCloud.
So this is like the Adium of iPad apps.
Yes, but it's a little different. They also have their own file sharing thing set up where you can use either Cloud App or Droplr, two different services which you can set up so you can easily send files and send them to other people over IM, and they'll be able to get links to these different services and access them really easily. So if I go ahead and just connect here, you'll see that it will sign me in and keep my buddy list here on the side. It's loading in all my friends. And then if I want to do a chat with someone, it loads it up right there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so if I do a chat with someone else, it brings it in there. And so it has a nice little view to be able to switch between the two of them. And,
I have to say, if you've already got a bunch of people on a messaging service, I don't know how much I'd want to use messages when I have something. This makes more sense for me because I've got all sorts of AIM contacts that have been
Facebook
my contacts for years, where I wouldn't necessarily want to
chat. Yeah, the it won't exactly work with messages, the new thing yet, though maybe they'll integrate that in here. But considering it can do MobileMe chat, it's maybe going to be a similar address that you're using. It might be your old MobileMe address for being able to use the same thing. So yeah, it's just a really simple IM application that's now on the iPad, and yeah, it's my go-to one that I've been using for a long time.
So the website is verbs.im, and it's 99 cents.
Yes.
So, hey, if you are a chatter, you like Instant Messenger, and you have a variety of folks who connect on a variety of different platforms, this seems like a no-brainer. A buck for Verbs. And with that, MG, I know you're disappointed, but we've come to the end of our show.
Yes.
We have to say goodbye now. Thank you so much for filling in for Leo.
You bet.
I have to say, I think the chat room likes you. I mean, the first time that you came as a co-host on the show, the two of us were sort of like, well, this could be weird. And it ended up working out really well because we're obviously, we get along really well and it wasn't weird. And we got a lot of really good responses. So I'm so glad that you came back again. Please come back anytime.
Yes. Hopefully it seems like, maybe in a few months there might be a new iPad. So if
exactly.
I can get access to that, maybe we can bring that on.
That will be, yes. All right, I'm holding you to that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us on iPad today. Remember to go to twit.tv/IPT for all of our show archives. And until then, we'll see you next week. Leo will be back. And now we have to howl. Goodbye. Oh.